There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
A brave council indeed. The crackdown on adult entertainment in the city of Mobile. We may have time to get to what happened in Mobile City Council yesterday on this Midday Mobile, but lots to do on this one-hour edition because Scuttlebutt Boys come on at 1 today, and we are back aboard the USS Alabama here on the Fantail at the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit here, doing the show from noon to 1 for Midday Mobile, then from 1 to 2, Scuttlebutt takes over. Love for you to come on by and visit and see us, and plus we'll talk about what's happening like this weekend with the USS Drum Crewmen Association Reunion, Living History Crew Drills, and these events planned for Saturday. We'll talk more about those throughout the hour, but we'd love for you to come by and see us. And I'll tell you what, we'll probably even have, we'll have some contesting this hour, some things for you to win. One way is a good old-fashioned picking up the telephone and calling 343-0106. Another one will be kind of like a it won't be a scavenger hunt because I'm going to tell you right where the thing is, but it will involve you coming out here to Battleship Memorial Park. So if you're already here pulling up, good for you. This is going to work out for you quite well. All right, coming up on today's show, lots to do here. We're going to get into a Harris poll for Axios. You know, Axios, the news group, that shows socialism is gaining popularity. Okay? It's getting... This, we've talked about it before, though. I think the nuance and the devil is in the details. What people think they support with socialism and what the actual definition of socialism is, there might be a Grand Canyon between them, but we will talk about the 4 in 10 Americans in one poll, if you believe anything that comes out in a poll, that say they would prefer living in a socialist country. Speaking of maybe faulty polling, of course, the Quinnipiac poll giving Joe Biden the win over President Trump. Actually, if you heard Mike Gallagher talking last hour, giving any Democrat the win over President Trump. But, of course, this is a poll that had it so very, very wrong in 2015 into 2016. So we'll get to that in just a second. Also, I want to talk about some breaking news statewide here. And let me get the latest. This just coming out. And Governor Ivey signing SB 347 into law. Okay, Senate Bill 347 into law. Now, without getting into full details there, it is the SB 347 is the enacting or enabling bill. We talk about tolling for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge. And I saw that State Auditor Jim Ziegler on his Block the Bayway Toll Facebook page put up a couple paragraphs about this, said a bill that would enable toll companies to enforce toll charges has been signed into law by Governor Kay Ivey. SB 347 has passed both houses and with Ivey's signature is now Act 2019-501. State Auditor Jim Ziegler, Jim, you're talking about yourself in third person. State Auditor Jim Ziegler, who opposes tolls on a proposed new I-10 I-10 bridge over Mobile Bay, had fought the bill and called it an enabling bill for the toll bridge. The act enables toll companies to suspend driver's licenses and block car tag renewals on car owners who they say did not pay tolls. It enables administrative fees to be added to toll bills. Ziegler expressed disappointment in the passage of the act, but says, quote, there are other ways to block the I-10 toll, end quote. And of course, this is coming from that Facebook page, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll. Now, let me say this. What State Auditor Jim Ziegler says here is entirely accurate. It might be flavored, but it's entirely accurate. But the focus on the fact that we're focusing on a symptom and not the disease, okay? The focusing on the fact that SB 347 would give this entity, the capital investment group that's putting up the lion's share of what at least is proposed right now on building the bridge, expanding the bayway, remember, if you we keep repeating, because there's new people coming to this information all the time. Back in the old days, you know, over the last decade, we were told it was going to be an 80-20 split in this project, 80% federal, 20% some amalgamation of state and local municipal money is now completely upended, where only 7%, and that's a maybe, that hasn't been done yet, only 7% of the money would come from the feds. And once again, that's still not done. That's that 170-something million-dollar info grant. If that is done, then 7% comes from the feds. The rest would have to come from Aldot and Toll. And this, when I say Toll, because this group that's going to put up the capital to build the bridge, build the Bayway expansion, and then recoup their money over 55 years with a toll that can rise at the rate of inflation. Okay, but we get back to what I, so State Auditor Jim Ziegler saying, he said it a couple times, he said on the show with us before, the act enables toll companies to suspend driver's licenses and block car tag renewals on cars who they say did not pay tolls. Okay, here's the problem. That's an easy one to get up in arms about, but you really should get up in arms about the fact that you're moving through this process without the federal money and you have to find a private concessionaire to come in and do this. Because if you're, if the concessionaire would agree to put up the money and not have some provision that gives them teeth to be able to enforce tolls, then they would be fools. And obviously, if they've gathered that much money, they're not fools. So, while I agree in the premise with Jim Ziegler here, yes, the premise is this is enabling legislation for the tolling. That's fine. But focusing on the fact that what it would give this group the ability to work through the state, I guess, to be able to suspend your driver's license or block your tag renewal if you didn't pay your tolls, shouldn't be that surprising. I mean, you should go back to point one and the fact that there's a concessionaire involved here, right? So private entity, and it's not the state. So therefore, there has to be some way. How can the? I mean, they're not going to sue everybody for not paying $3 or $6 or whatever a toll might be. They have to have some other mechanism to make sure people comply with the tolls. So, yes, entirely accurate from Jim Ziegler, but I think the issue is if there's going to be a private entity involved, if there's going to be any sort of percentage that's paid for by a concessionaire, whether it's a large amount or a small amount, there's going to be something involved here that lets them use the power of the state to block your driver's license renewal or your car tax or something like that. I mean, it's going to, by the nature of private dollars being in there, they're going to have a mechanism to get their money. So it goes back and begs the primary question, should we even be talking about having private money in there? And should we even be trying at this point to build the toll? All right, tell you what, we'll do this. We'll run the break here in just a second. We're going to come back more from right here at Battleship Memorial Park in the USS Alabama, where we're on the fantail. And give you a heads up, though, Father's Day is coming up. If you didn't realize, us dads, we got to stick together, remind everybody, Father's Day is coming up, fast approaching. That would be on Sunday, for those of you who have not been scoring at home. And for Dad, you thought about a gift for Dad? How about this? How about getting him a gift that he'll use, that he'll love, that he'll thank you throughout the year for it, and a gift that doesn't break the bank? How about if I could make this a trifecta? You could do all three, save a few bucks along the way. You can with Harry's right now. They have a special offer this Father's Day. Get $5 off a Harry's shave set and treat yourself or that man, dad in your life, to a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover. Just use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. This Father's Day, Harry's has a special offer. Once again, get $5 off the shave set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. That means the razor, the weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, the travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today, use my code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer, and let them know I sent you. Help support the show here with Midday Mobile. All right, coming right back, more. We are live on the fantail of the Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park, and this is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live from the fantail of the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. Love to do the show here, and we'll talk a bit about what's happening this weekend. Another place I've taken the show live and get to hang out with friends, and that is at Mobile Bay Coins. I was there very recently, and when I was in last time, we were talking about all the opportunities, whether it is buying decorative pieces or just buying gold and silver for a hedge and investment. And the man with knowledge on all that is my buddy Angelo. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going today?
going good. So tell me what's happened. Like, last time you said there were some trends going on in precious metals. Is that still happening? What's going on?
Well, gold and silver actually bumped up a little bit, and now they're holding up from where they were. So right now, gold is holding over 1,300. Silver is holding in the 1470 to 1490 range, which is up about, you know, on silver, up about 50 cents from where it was a couple weeks ago. So definitely been trending upwards. Something that you would appreciate, you know, Father's Day is coming up, and we have been selling the heck out of the open L9s this week.
That's good, because that is a perfect, I mean, it's good. You know what, that's the chip shot, buying the open L9s for Father's Day. I mean, everybody should do that. I've presented that it's a great gift for birthdays and graduations and all these things as well. But yeah, you got to start at the beginning here, and it is buying that open L9 for Dad.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan ever since I was turned onto these knives, and I know you are too. And for somebody that, you know, they know Dad's a knife collector, but they're not sure what to get him, I would almost bet money he's never seen an open L, because even though the brand has been around since 1890, it's not really been that popular or that well known here in the Deep South.
Yeah, you got to go check them out, and you won't just buy one. You'll buy several when you go. One for you, one for a gift, another one for you, another one for a gift. That's the way it goes. All right, Angela, tell folks how to come by and check out those knives and everything else going on at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto the website and check out some of the jewelry and things at MobileBayCoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins, and we are live on the Fantail. This is absolutely not one of. This is my favorite place to do a radio show, and Rhonda Davis from the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park in with us here in the Mobile Command Unit. Thank you for having us back out.
Well, welcome to the Mighty A. We love having you all
this
here.
This is the coolest place. I mean, I've done, you know, 27 years in this business or whatever, done radio shows a lot of places, back of an elephant. You know, out in the middle of the water. I'm trying to think of all the places, but the battleship is my favorite place to do a show.
Well, thank you, Sean. We're pretty proud of it.
It's so cool. And you'll have, you're inviting people to come out here all the time, but a special emphasis coming up this weekend.
Yes, this weekend is going to be one of our most important weekends at the park. We will host on Saturday the USS Drum Crewmen's Association Reunion, and we will be welcoming back the families and the friends of our original crewmen. We only have about 3 drum crewmen left, and of course they are World War II veterans, and some have mobility and health issues, but we love opening the park and celebrating them with their family and with their friends, and also with our local sub-vet group.
Now, and imagine over the years the stories. It's about the stories.
It is always about the stories. It's about their legacy. It's about 18, 19, 20-year-old men in a submarine at the bottom of the Pacific, you know, winning the war for us.
I mean, it's something to think about when I go, you know, walk around at the USS Drum, and I go there and I put my hands on it and this and that, and think about the history, think about where it was.
Absolutely.
I think about it. And then to have these reunions, whether it's the actual veteran or their family, to know either that person or their father or their brother or whomever actually physically had their hands on it during the war. I get chills just doing it, just thinking about what happened. But to see those people on it, it's unbelievable.
Yes, and you know, many of the families donate items from their fathers that are on display in the drum. That makes it even more poignant for them to come and see photographs or letters or a piece of clothing that their father would have worn, or their uncle or their grandfather. And it is really an emotional day. It's a poignant day. At 11 o'clock, we will have a memorial service for all those drum members that we have lost over the year. And it's a nice reminder to sit, call their name, ring the bell, and then toss. We always end the service by tossing roses into Mobile Bay in commemoration of their life.
Now, the drum has been here at the park how long?
On July 4th, it will have been here for 50 years.
Wow.
So this reunion is very important because it's going to be the 49th annual reunion, but we will go into the celebration of the drum's 50th anniversary at Battleship Memorial Park.
Now, y'all been doing a lot of, there's a constant project. If people think they got projects around their house, imagine if your house was Battleship Memorial Park and the car in the garage happened to be the USS Alabama and the USS Drum. But y'all been doing some more work recently on the drum, I know.
We have. You know, it is a constant battle to do rust mitigation, mm-hmm. restoration. And when you think about it, the drum had a crew of 72 people. So they had two jobs.
That many in the
72 wow. men in the drum and stateside the dog.
Yeah, and I want to get into that in a second. Yes. I love this story.
And they, you know, have their day-to-day operation job, and then they have the battle station job. So they had to maintain it, keep up a healthy environment for them to live in and sleep and work and play in.
Right.
So it really is interesting to go into it and
now
to see how tight.
And now y'all are doing it, not with 72 on your crew to do that.
Right. We have Leslie Waters and Tom Bowser, who are such dedicated employees. And then we have volunteers that come in and work with them from time to time.
Now, you mentioned stateside the dog. Last time I was here, we were talking about this, and you were talking about the things that you get from families.
Yes.
That had family members serve for the drum. Tell folks about that didn't hear it last time about stateside the dog.
Stateside the dog is a dog that the men brought aboard the drum when they were in
was
port.
That okay? Was that legal? Were they allowed to do that? Was that on the sly?
Well, you know, whatever makes them happy sometimes is what
right,
they did.
Right.
And the dog lived on the ship with them. And then after the war, one of the crewmen took the dog stateside home with him. And we have recently been given the collar of stateside, which is in the archives now. It will be registered in as a historical artifact, photographed, listed in our archival collection. It will be conditioned and preserved, and then it will be put on display in the drum with stateside's picture.
And this story, and making sure this story stays alive, because, I mean, I think I remember hearing last time, so, like, after the war, decommissioned, the drum is, you know, they're leaving the drum.
They're leaving the drum.
They're leaving the drum. Their service right then to their country is at least taking a break. Those men are leaving, and they look, and there's the dog
there's
is
the
still
dog.
On the sub. And so one of them says, okay, well, I'm taking
him home. So he did, and stateside lived in the United States with the crewman. The remainder of stateside's life. And it's very ironic that they kept his collar,
yeah.
which does not look like a normal dog's collar, by the way. It's probably 3.5 inches thick leather, wow. and it has a huge metal plate on it with stateside, and it has the dates. So it is a very interesting dog collar, and don't know if they needed that collar to control stateside
right.
or
right.
if that was just a point of pride with the crewman to make that for him.
That's cool. It's just another piece of the content. Because you almost think history, right, it's static, right? At a certain point, we now know everything we know about whether it's the ship we're sitting on or the,
yes.
the sub that's there or any of the aircraft that are here. But, in fact, that's not true because we continue to find new stories.
And
y'all are bringing them to life here.
Absolutely. And, you know, for so many veterans, whether they're serving today or they served in World War I or World War II, their military experience really was a defining point in their life and a turning point. For so many, coming out of World War II, education was accessible for the first time for so many. So many men left farms and small communities to serve. I think about the USS Alabama. A total complement was 2,500 men.
Wow.
That was larger than most of the hometowns and communities that the men who served upon her lived in. So for these men traveling to exotic points in the world, the call of service, their patriotism, their dedication, their love of home and family, their belief in our American system and way of life, it really was, as young men, defining.
This is in a place where you can see the history. You know, we're talking about history come to life. You can lay hands on the history here at Battleship Memorial Park. Once again, the event's going on Saturday. Give us a timeline.
Yes. We will start the morning at 8:30. The Living History Cruise for the USS Alabama and USS Drum will be at the park. We will post the colors on the fantail of the USS Alabama at 8:30. At 11 o'clock, we will have the Crewmen's Association come to the park. We will have their memorial service. At 1 o'clock, it's called to battle stations and the mock battle attack on the USS Alabama. The crewmates will be in the wardroom creating Christmas cards and holiday cards for Operation Gratitude that will be sent in care packages to our active duty military serving overseas this holiday season.
And this is on the website as well?
on the website and also on our Facebook page.
Thank you, Rhonda. I appreciate it. We're coming right back live from Battleship Memorial Park.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. And come out and see us here at Battleship Memorial Park on the fantail of the USS Alabama. What a great place to do a radio show. This is what the third and 2 months I've done out here. More of this, please, that's for sure. And actually, this might be a place that coming up in September, you could be posted up to watch a whole line of canoes, kayaks, and maybe even stand-up paddle boards come by you in a race that is epic. I think, you know, that word gets thrown around so often out here, but I think in this case, you can talk about this race being an epic race. Alabama Scenic River Trail has their Great Alabama 650 coming up in September. Now, what is that 650? Well, we'll ask Greg Wingo more about that. He joins us now. Hey, thanks for your time, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
The Great Alabama 650 what?
650 miles of paddling. It is the it is the longest paddle race in the United States. And racers are coming from all over the world to tackle our water and see if they can be the winner.
You know, this is, we're blessed with this, obviously. People can say, look no further than the seal of the great state of Alabama, and you look at all the rivers on there. So we are blessed with so many rivers, and that's something celebrated through Alabama Scenic River Trail. So let's we'll back up for a second, too, and tell people about the Alabama Scenic River Trail. Even if you're not talking about competing in a tournament or a race here, there's a lot of ways for folks to get out and enjoy the rivers in the state.
That's exactly right. You know, we really are, like you said, we're really blessed to have a large amount of water here in the state of Alabama. In fact, we have over 5,300 miles of paddable water, mapped paddable water in the state of Alabama. It makes us the number one state in the country for mapped paddable water. So, you know, adventure enthusiasts, paddle enthusiasts, people that just love being out on the water in general, can all have plenty of opportunities and places throughout the state to go to get on lots of different types of water.
Yeah, and I will put those links up as well, but alabamascenicrivertrail.com, you can go there. And it was great when y'all launched this because those of us that are paddling enthusiasts had cobbled together either stories from folks in our home water is one thing, but, you know, if you want to travel elsewhere in the state to go paddle, stories from folks up there, or there were a couple of paddling resource books that said, okay, here's one section from this put in to this tank out and all these things. But y'all put all this together in one place where we can look at the whole state. You got the map on there. This is really great, so people can plan a trip.
That's exactly right. You can go onto our website and you can find pretty much any type of water, any type of place to put in, take out, like you mentioned. All throughout the state, we have maps that give really good detail on where to go. And it all started a decade ago when we established the first 650 miles, the actual original Alabama Scenic River Trail. But since then, we've mapped so many more miles of waterways throughout the state.
So that's 650 miles, the Great Alabama 650. That is that's the racetrack for this race. Walk people through the geography from start to finish and what this race will entail.
Definitely. So the Great Alabama 650 is, like we said, a 650 mile long point to point race. So it's going to start up on Wife Lake in northeast Alabama. It will continue down through the Coosa River, passing, you know, cities like Gadsden, on down through Childersburg and past Wetumpka and Montgomery. It meets up with the Alabama and continues on down. And then you hit the Mobile Bay eventually and finishes out at Fort Morgan. So you have a wide variety of types of water that racers or just paddling enthusiasts can take advantage of. It starts out with a little bit of white water, then you get a good amount of flat water with the different lakes that paddlers have to go through, and then, you know, the last 100 miles, I would say, is probably the most difficult portion of the race. You have that tidewater coming into the delta region, and so you're dealing with a lot of, you know, headwinds and some commercial traffic and so it's quite a bit of a challenge, but we have, like I said, we have racers coming from all over the world that are excited to tackle this challenge and to vie for over $20,000 in money.
Wow. And I'm just thinking about the geography difference, too. You laid this out, whether you're talking about the Delta, but you're starting up there with the Whitewater section. You're, you know, at Lake Weiss up there, rocky, you know, foothills of the Appalachian Mountains there, the whole way to the sandy spit that we love right here in our own backyard at Fort Morgan. That's a big change. It kind of tells the story of the diversity in our state.
That's exactly right. You know, we were recently named the number one most biodiverse state in the country. And if we're just talking about from a waterway standpoint, we have probably the most diverse waterways in the entire country as well. So many different options and things to see and different types of water to tackle. And so, you know, it's really exciting that we're able to put on this event and get people from outside of the state to come here and experience it, but also, you know, showcase it to others in the state of Alabama that either may not be aware that this is something that we have going on, or just in general from a recreational standpoint, that there's so many different bodies of water in our state that people can take advantage of.
All right. And Greg, as a guy that's toying with the idea of maybe throwing my hat in the ring for this race, 650 miles in 10 days. Now, I was not a math major in college, but to me that looks like averaging 65 miles a day. 65 miles a day is a lot of paddling.
It is. It is a lot of paddling. And I think there are definitely endurance racers out there that is something that they feel very confident in being able to do. I think the biggest thing is you have to understand the geographical layout of our state and those bodies of water that you're going to be traveling, and you have to be able to wisely pick out where you can make up as much mileage as possible on a given day. There's certainly areas where you're going to get, you know, hit with those headwinds, like at the bottom of the state, that are going to make it a whole lot harder to move through. But yes, 65 miles a day is the average that you would need to get through in 10 days. We anticipate, though, that we'll see some finishers somewhere in that 7 to 8 day range.
Wow. Wow. And we're talking about teams here, too, although I want to get into that. I think there are people who could do it single paddler, but it seems like to make this possible, you need somebody paddling at all times, one person sleeping, one person paddling.
Yeah, so we have three different categories. We have male solo, we have female solo, and then we have two-person team. It can be any gender. And so, you know, essentially a lot of these solo paddlers feel like they have a really good chance at finishing and or, you know, finishing a whole lot faster than we all think they can. You know, a lot of it is just dependent on how well they manage their sleep and their nutrition. That they're going to be taking in throughout the route. But, you know, those two-person teams, you're exactly right. You know, at some point, someone's probably going to have to snooze a little bit while the other person's kind of pulling the weight to get there to the end. But like I said, you know, everybody's probably going to have, you know, several crew members that are going to be there that are really the unsung heroes of any, you know, individual or team that's tackling this. You know, those are the people that are meeting them along the way and making sure that they're, you know, hydrating properly, getting their fuel, setting up camp for where they sleep along the way, and making sure that those racers can, you know, safely and quickly get to the finish.
Just joining us, talking to Greg Wingo with the Alabama Scenic River Trail and this great Alabama 650 race happening in September. Now, yeah, you were kind of describing like a paddler's version of a NASCAR pit crew, right? Those people that will be in support.
That's exactly right. Yeah, everybody, all the solo paddlers are required to have at least one crew member. The teams aren't required to have crew, but the vast majority of them will have crew. It makes it a whole lot more manageable if you have somebody helping you out logistically on the land and being able to do some of that work for you, get you set up so that you can just focus on paddling the entire way. And it is very similar to a pit crew style situation. They're trying to get their paddlers everything to them as quickly as possible and get them back out in the water so that they can win this thing.
You know, something you and I talked about before we went on here is that this is open to well, at least three different types of paddled watercraft, right? Canoes, kayaks, and stand-ups, stand-up paddleboard?
Stand-up paddleboard.
What?
Well.
Really? I mean, I know that, you know, my kids think it's way cooler than any canoe or kayak, but if somebody finishes the race on a stand-up paddleboard, I'm going to be impressed.
Well, trust me, if somebody finishes this thing on a stand-up paddleboard, I'm going to be the first one there to give them a big hug because they are going to have, you know, suffered mightily to get there. But that said, there's quite a few endurance stand-up paddleboarders out there, and this is certainly something that, you know, they, you know, I think that they definitely see as a bucket list item to tackle. That said, racers are allowed to change out watercraft throughout the race. So you might start out on a stand-up paddleboard and then finish in a kayak. Perfectly doable. The only thing is it must be human-powered. It can't be motorized or sail power or even foot power. It does have to be, you know, it does have to be paddled. But they're allowed to change out as many different vessels as they want to based on the different types of water that they have to encounter.
This is an event, obviously, for the racers, but what about spectators? You talk about the portages that are going to happen and things. These are by some major hydroelectric dams. Is this something that people, if they're not competing, will come out and be able to see these racers?
Definitely. Yeah, the problem with the portages or the
and I guess we should explain, portages for folks. A portage is what?
So a portage is an area in which the racers are going to have to get out of the water and go around some sort of obstacle. And so in our state, those obstacles are our hydroelectric dams, particularly located in the northern and central region of the state. So there are dams that cause us to be able to have Weiss Lake and Logan Martin Lake and Lay Lake and Mitchell and Jordan. And so as paddlers come to those dams, they have to portage around them. That's that term for taking out the boat out of the water, walking around to the other side of that dam, and putting back in the water. And so during that 10-day period, racers are on the clock the entire time. They're on the clock when they're paddling, when they're sleeping, when they're eating, anything they're doing. The only time that they're not on the clock is when they're going through one of those portage areas. And that gives them just a little bit of downtime to, you know, to be able to safely move around those hydroelectric dams. But spectators that want to watch the race, there are plenty of places throughout, particularly on those lakes that I mentioned. There's plenty of opportunity to be able to see those racers come through, especially in the early portions of the race when the racers are closer together. As the race moves on over the period of days, they're going to spread out quite a bit. But you could be standing at the waterfront in Montgomery and be able to see racers come through there. Certainly down along the eastern shoreline in the bay, you'll be able to see them, you know, hugging that shoreline as close as they possibly can to get around to Fort Morgan. So there's definitely going to be plenty of spectator opportunities. And we're going to have a map on our website that's tracking the racers throughout. So you'll be able to, you know, go on there, find a racer. You may even choose to, you know, treat it like you like horse racing and pick a racer and see if they're going to be the winner. And you can follow along on that map where they are at any given time and go out there and watch them.
All right. Remind folks, too, because we're going to talk about this more as it gets closer, but if they want to go to the website, get more information, maybe they want to sign up to compete or get more information to pick their winning horse, how do they do it?
So the website is al650.com, al650.com, and the race actually kicks off September 14th and goes for a full 10 days. And you can go on that website now and see a map detailing all the different mileage of the race as well as those portage spots we discussed. Anybody interested, just like you, that wants to register for the race can go on there now and register. And get a good feel for what we're doing. And as we get closer to September, we'll be adding quite a bit of features to that website, including that mapping feature that I mentioned where you can track the racers throughout.
All right, Greg, we're going to check back with you soon throughout the summer, get updates on this, but I sure appreciate you bringing this to our attention, and I can't wait to talk more about it.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
All right. There it is, y'all. And I'll try to put that link up on my Twitter feed here in just a second. Great Alabama 650. 10 days, 650 miles of paddling through the state of Alabama. How about that? Coming right back. More Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, people, I'm getting questions here through social media and on my personal text, my take on Alan Seals' departure from our news partners at WKRG. Y'all, I'm trying to pull myself together. Maybe by tomorrow I'll be able to answer that. I'm a big fan of Alan's. Processing that information right now. I also want to do this before we wrap up. By the way, Scuttlebutt Boys are coming on next. They'll be on from 1 to 2. But before I wrap up here, I've got some tickets for you. Not some, man. I got plenty of tickets for you for the Mystic Stripers Rodeo, the 17th annual Mystic Stripers Rodeo going on this weekend. Starts at 6, goes till 5 out of Dolphin Island Marina. Great party. Kids divisions, prizes to be won just for showing up. I mean, you get drawings. It really is a lot of fun. Of course, red snapper, speckled trout, and a host of other fish. If you'll go to Mystic Stripers Rodeo online or on Facebook, you'll see more information. But if you're caller number 6 right now at 343-0106, we got a pair of tickets. Think about it. It's Father's Day weekend coming up. Maybe you get 2 tickets, take dad with you fishing for the for Saturday, early Father's Day gift. Once again, caller 6 at 343-0106. Got a pair of tickets for you, and we're going to do this too. We're doing it kind of different as well, because usually we just have you call, and you can call and win. But also, Dalton pocketed a couple of those tickets as he headed out here to the USS Alabama. He's out here with us as well. Dalton's got those. So the next person that shows up and sees us right here on the fantail of the USS Alabama comes by the broadcast. Scuttlebutt Boys will be on, but Dalton and I will be hanging around here. Next person to show up in person here at the battleship, we also have a pair of tickets to the Stripers Rodeo for you. Once again, more information online. Buy your tickets now. What a great weekend. You got Father's Day, so you can get dad out and go fishing on Saturday, have a big time, and then enjoy some fried fish or broiled fish or whatever you want to do on Sunday. So once again, caller number 6, good luck. And the next person to show up here at Battleship Memorial Park, see us at the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, which y'all really is sitting on the fantail of the USS Alabama. We drive it up here and we park it. So we're here. Stop on by. We'll get you those tickets as well. All right, so good luck in that. Also, before I wrap here, some of this is going to have to be carried over to tomorrow, but one of the things we started the show with is the governor had signed SB 347. Now, that is the enabling legislation on the toll. In other words, it gives the private concessionaire the go-ahead to charge a toll to recoup the money that they're going to put in this bridge project. Now, State Auditor Jim Ziegler had put out that it gives the ability for the private concessionaire to if you don't pay the toll, they can block you from getting a tag renewal. They can get your driver's license and all that. Of course they do. I mean, if you have a private concessionaire risking money here, they're going to do anything they can to make sure people, to put some teeth in it to make sure people pay their tolls. But it goes back to the question, should be the first question of all this whole discussion, should there be this private money in the mix to build this bridge? I think it's fair to ask that if there's not enough public money there, is there something we need to do right now? So, all right. Scuttlebutt Show for veterans by veterans, Tom and Cal and the gang. They're on next. Talk to y'all tomorrow morning bright and early at 6 for Mobile Mornings. I'll be hanging out here for another hour and change, so come by and see us. We're on the fantail of the USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park, and this is FM Talk 106.5.